This is Kurt.
And this is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast. Welcome to the Dulcet Town. What? The Dulcet Towns? The Dulcet Tones of the MFG Cast. I was going to do something funny and I just ruined it right away. It's terrible.
I thought I was going to have to do it too.
I like yours better.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. I was really trying hard to.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because I can't. I don't know. Never mind.
All right, let's scrap
that.
And this
is why I don't roleplay.
Again, that's not the whole thing about roleplaying is doing a voice.
I know, but I would want to do a voice.
Yeah, voices are awesome, especially when they're terrible. They're the best.
Yep, I'd be very good at it.
Yeah, for sure.
My voice would be like, I'm starting like this. And then it'd be like,
and I'm going to end like this.
Okay, anyway. Hi!
Welcome to another board games edition of the MFG Cast.
God, it freaks me out when you say games.
Games, board games.
Board games?
Board game edition of the MFG. Words are escaping. This episode, we're going to be talking about some things we've been playing recently, online and off. Some older games for us, even though they're not that old. That we kind of got back to the table, which was cool.
Yeah.
So let's just kind of get into it. What do we want to talk about first?
Well, I don't know.
Let's bring up the game that we just played recently. So we have some...
Like recently, like last night?
Like last night for us. But nobody on this would know unless we told them.
It'd be hot off the press for us.
It is. We have some... friends of ours that live one state over that used to live
in Alaska.
So Wisconsin to Alaska, if you know your states, you're in the United States.
Alaska's really far away from anybody.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's there true. You have it. It's true. But the Midwest, well, actually, they didn't move from Wisconsin to Alaska. They moved from Tennessee.
Yeah.
To Alaska.
Yeah. So we. We haven't seen them for quite a bit, and now they moved back to one state over in Minnesota, and we've been playing game, trying to get together with them once a month to play games with them. And like we talked in one of our previous episodes, is we're kind of in this awesome mode where the people that we play games with, a lot of people are pretty receptive to playing just about anything.
And I think we talked about playing games with them on maybe the last episode because we introduced them to Century Spice Road.
That's right.
Because yesterday when we got together with them and we were talking about what we were going to play last night, one of them said, I think my favorite game so far that we've played together is Century Spice Road.
Yeah, which is awesome.
So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
so we
squirreled off on that.
Yeah. So, I had the idea that maybe we should let them pick the game since they came to our place and they could see all of our games and they could pick what they wanted.
Which is funny because I didn't even say anything to her. We were just downstairs and she was looking at all the games and she was glancing at all the games and we were off looking at something else. And she is like, this game and this game, this game and this game. And then she came back with...
She ended up picking Crimes and History, H.H. Holmes' Murder Castle.
And so we're like, let's play it, because we wanted you guys to pick a game.
Yeah. So you actually found this game, and we funded it on Kickstarter. How did you end up finding that game?
know if I kind of think that maybe it was back in the day when I was on Twitter, and I might have followed this company on, or the publisher of this game on Twitter, and then saw all their posts about this, and I thought that the whole thing was fascinating because this game is based on a true story.
Yeah.
A true crazy pants guy who would... Did he lure people to this castle that he built?
Yeah, so he built it to lure the people in that were going to the World's Fair.
Yep, and then he would murder them.
Yeah.
In this castle. And I feel like maybe he was like a pharmacist or something.
Yeah, I think that's what they said.
Something with, I don't know, and we totally could have like parts of the story wrong, but it's based on a true story of a gentleman named H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's something about it that fascinated me, and so I started following this, or I was already following this publisher. It was Board, not it was, they are, Board, I'm going to get their name wrong.
Yeah, it's Blueprint Gaming Concepts. Yep.
I knew it started with a B. They're a board game company.
Yeah.
That was a weird laugh. And then they also follow me on Instagram too. So, but then once we kickstarted the game and once we got the game and we started posting pictures on Instagram, then they were definitely interacting with me on Instagram when I would post the stuff. I kind of feel like maybe they're around here by us too.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. I feel like it's like Minnesota or Chicago or something like that. Yeah. Somewhere in that area.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the whole thing kind of sucked me in because it was based on a true story and I thought it was creepy. And normally it's like, it's definitely outside my box, but it kind of sucked me in from that aspect.
Yeah.
This like serial killer kind of creepy guy.
Yeah, for sure. So the publisher, like she said, is Blueprint Gaming Concepts. The designers are Seth A. Cooper and Bran Hoffman. The artist is Holly Carden. And this game plays about, it says 1-7, but I think that's with the second story expansion. But we got I think we ended up getting like their deluxe version.
Yes.
Because we got their second story expansion plus some miniatures that came with the game. So basically what you're doing in this game is you are exploring parts of the murder castle and you're collecting evidence to basically turn H.H. Holmes in, is what you're trying to do. But also H.H. Holmes is kind of stalking you, and it's weird because in the game you think he would be trying to kill you, but all he's doing is making you drop the evidence against him, basically.
Yep.
So there's lots of different ways to kind of maneuver the board. So you either explore by putting out these explore tiles. So it's like a tile laying game and they have different rooms that have different types of evidence. There's also, you know, rooms that help you keep away from H.H. Holmes. There's some that do bad things if you do stuff in there. So some of the other actions will make you move around. Some will make you collect evidence, and some are like one of those event cards or whatever. And those do a whole bunch of different things.
So you're kind of like building the castle as you're going.
Yes.
And so each person picks one of these cards and they're able to play the first action on top of the card plus the subsequent like bonus action. So if they pick that they want to place a tile to build more of this castle, then they actually can build multiple tile or place multiple tiles of this castle down if applicable, if there's another door that they can connect it to. And then you go around to all the other players and they're able to do the first part of that card, but they can't do that bonus action. And you go around and then you move to the next person and they decide what action they want to take based on what's left. And they get the top part and the bottom part of that card, but then everybody else just gets the top part again.
Yeah.
So, like, if the next person picks collecting evidence, they can collect multiple pieces of evidence, meaning these colored cubes that you're placing on your player board to beat H.H. Holmes, basically, or turn him in, where the other people can only collect one if they're in that space and there's evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not be able to complete that action.
Yeah.
If there's no evidence in the room that you're in, or there's no doors to place any additional tiles to expand the castle, or you can't move because he's in the room next to you or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I like that, you know, there's... I like the whole... The player that takes the action gets that bonus on the bottom, but also everybody gets that first action. So it's pretty balanced on what people can do and stuff like that. I like the event cards, because the event cards kind of, like, they help you, but also kind of not help other people. It's weird, because it's kind of... It's kind of co-op, but not... You know, it's like, I feel like it's not, it's, it.
I don't think it's
maybe co-op. Maybe it isn't co-op. Okay.
I don't think it's co-op at all.
Yeah, it really isn't. But it's weird, because it seems like you are, because you're trying to, you're trying to bust H.H. Holmes, and you have to do certain things to lay stuff out. But yeah,
you're
maybe it isn't.
You're trying to, but I feel like it's not co-op, but you might try to gang up on another player who's going to,
yeah.
to collect enough evidence to beat him.
Yeah.
Which happened, but the event cards, back to what you were talking about with those, is those are nice because they can help you directly. Like, you might be able to collect evidence from the bag that might help you to complete your board of evidence. I think there's four different colors of evidence cubes, and you have to get four of each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then... you have to get back to the pharmacy, and that's how you win the game.
Yeah.
But there's also fun ones in there that, like, you can pickpocket other people and take one of their evidence cubes. And there's action cards where you have to play right away, and there's other ones where you can keep for later. And the keep for later, you keep them face down, so no one knows you have them. So, like, last night when we were playing, we were... thinking we were tricky, pickpocketing people, and then we'd turn around and the other person would pickpocket right back. And so we'd be like, I'm going to take your blue evidence cube. Nope, I'm stopping you from taking that. Or I'm going to, you know, we were trying to manipulate each other, and we weren't to basically, like, save ourselves.
Yeah.
From having him get us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or capture us. So they work to your advantage. Some of them I was like, I don't know how these are going to pan out. And then they ended up panning out.
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up working.
Some of them you have to save for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But they work nice.
Yeah. And another thing that we kind of alluded to but didn't really talk about too much is when H.H. Holmes actually moves.
Yes.
So when he moves, you flip over these cards. And instead of it being like... like, for our actions, we could do, like, one or two moves, and subsequently two or three if you pick that actual action card. But with him, when you flip over one of his move cards, it actually tells you where he goes. So if it's a room that's not out, he doesn't move. But if it is, then he has to move. And if there's options, then whoever has the first player key, they decide where they go. So it's beneficial if you have the key and you're trying to kind of screw everybody else out of something, or to help you have an advantage, you could put him into a room where somebody else is and screw them over, or put them in a way of somebody that's trying to get to a certain place or get back to the pharmacy to win the game.
Yeah, because you can't move through a room that he's in.
Yes.
And you can't go into a room that he's in.
Correct.
Obviously, makes sense.
Yeah.
Because... you don't want to enter a room that somebody's going to kill you.
I
guess I wouldn't.
Yeah, I would call that not good advice.
So what happens if somebody with that power selects a room and H.H. Holmes goes into a room with another person?
Yeah, so if another person's in there and H.H. actually enters that room, you're actually losing... cubes, it's called a home strike. So what, instead of like killing the player or harming the player, what it does is it makes them drop evidence depending upon where they're at on their track. So it starts from the top, and the top one is -1. So you're taking -1 evidence from the top color, which is blue, and then going down, and I think it's like 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, and 3 at the bottom one, which is
I think orange. Is there five colors?
I think it's...
Oh, I thought those four. Sorry.
Blue, green, white, orange, and yellow.
There's no yellow cubes.
There is yellow, because I remember collecting those last night.
Okay, well then there's five colors, not four, like I said, and you agreed with me.
Oh, sorry, I just wasn't...
But then you also have to take a black cube, don't you?
Yep, that's basically what they do, is you're taking the black Holmes strike cube, putting it in that spot that tells you what the negative is, to take it out, and then it just keeps going down and down and down.
And then you're taking more out one of the evidence, dropping it too. So you're basically doing a swap, an exchange.
Pretty much.
Kind of. Not putting it in the same spot.
Yeah.
So, but on the same row.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're the evidence that you're taking, you're dropping into the room that you're in, and they have these little storage spaces that tell you how many pieces of evidence that are in that room. And it's anywhere
from...
Don't they
call them safes? Aren't they
safes? Yeah,
aren't they
you're
safes
right.
in all
right.
the rooms?
Yep. And they're anywhere from numbered 1 to 5, I think, is the most for that one room. Yeah, it was like one that was 5.
Really?
but it was... The 5 one was when you're in that room, you can't use one of your keep cards, one of your event cards. You could never use one of those when you're in there. So yeah, this is a fun little game that's just kind of like a take that, a kind of, you're trying to keep everyone else from solving the mystery, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But also like...
But then it adds one more thing also, sorry.
Yeah.
It also adds, like some event cards, you can add trap doors. So you can add a trap door to one of the rooms, and then it can, it's like a, basically a, I would... view it as kind of a secret passage. So yeah. You can trap door if somebody takes evidence from that area. You can basically have the trap door lead them to another room,
mm-hmm.
or lead yourself to another room.
Yes.
And so it might be a like a traveling thing to get to another spot that would take you a lot longer to move there.
Yeah.
With your moves. Mm-hmm. So that is in play. Yeah. Secret bookcases that help you move where you wouldn't normally be able to move, things like that.
Yeah, and there's more involved that we actually didn't get to with the expansion too. Sorry for interrupting.
Nope, that's okay. And then your characters also help you with special moves.
Yes,
like Logan's was able to break through a brick wall one time,
Which was cool.
Because he was a mason, I think.
Yeah.
My character was actually the guy who lent him the money as the banker to build his murder castle. Like, true story.
What a banker.
Yeah, what a jerk. Or fool, or whatever.
Yeah.
So he was able to do some other moves and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot into this.
There is. And I feel like there would be even more with the second story expansion, because there was a bunch of different, like, tokens that we never even mess with, and there's, like, more cards and more tiles and stuff like that. Also, you could play this solo. So you could play it to where... I can't remember if you're Holmes when you're playing solo, or if you can do both. And then there's also another version, and I think it's even with the one that we play. The standard edition or whatever. Is one person, if you play, I think, 3 to 7 players or something like that. One person can be Holmes themselves.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool to be like, I'm coming to get you, that kind of thing. I think that'd be kind of fun to try that. Just to see how that shaped out. So, yeah. There's a lot to this game. A lot more than it kind of seems like on the outside of, you know, of
the
when
surface.
So, yeah, the surface of it, when people kind of explain it. Because even when Tracy talked to me about it, I was like, that seems cool. And then when we first started playing, I was like, I don't know. It seems kind of
like
fun,
it.
But
honestly,
I don't know.
Honestly, I like it better with more players.
I do too.
And like, because we've only played it one other time besides last night. And I think it was just the two of us.
Yes.
And it was fine.
Yep.
I mean, but I liked it with five players.
Yeah. And I think I read even on Board Game Geek, a lot of people were saying, if you can get a lot of players to play this, do, because there's a lot of good interaction.
We
just talked about for last night. There's a lot of like, bam, bam, back and forth. And
because it could have finished a lot sooner, but there was a lot of gotchas.
It was. And it's funny, too, because it says on here, it plays 15 to 105 minutes.
15
yeah,
minutes?
I'm like, there's no way we're playing this 15 minutes.
No.
Unless somebody is, like, the best player in the world.
Well, and I felt like I was doing good, and then I ended up being the one with the least amount of evidence.
Yeah.
Well, I had 3 left, and everybody else was going for the same one color evidence, and then Logan ended up
nailing. Except for me. I was going for the green. Oh, okay. Everybody else is going for blue.
Yeah, the other three of you were. The other three of them were. But... Yeah. Yeah, I just, people were stealing my stuff. Like, apparently I'm a target. They were like, forget you, we're leaving you in the castle.
Yeah, well, for the longest time, I thought one of our other players were going to win, and then Logan came by and just swept it out and won it. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So that was Crimes in History, H.H. Holmes, Murder Castle.
Look at you.
That's so hard to remember.
He was making like direct eye contact as he was saying that, like, am I going to get it?
Oh my God. That's a mouthful. It really is. But still, it's cool. All right. What should we talk about next?
Let's talk about what we played on Wednesday night.
Sure.
So with our gaming group.
Sure. So the last time we got together with our normal gaming group that gets together on Wednesdays, if we can do so, I was thinking about the fact that I felt like I hadn't introduced this game to one of our new players, but for some reason I forgot the fact that when we first kind of started doing this game night with this new player, that was like one of the first games that we introduced him to. And I'm like, why didn't I forget?
Yeah, because we introduced him to deck building.
Yes.
And we introduced him to
DC
deck building.
Yeah.
Because we have oodles of...
We do.
DC.
And it's funny because I feel, at least in the circles that I'm running in, I feel like nobody's talking about this game and its expansions. And I just absolutely love it. And I mean, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know my love for it. But I haven't talked about it that much recently. You know, maybe I talked about it when we first introduced it, the original to Jason, who is our new gaming group fella. Yeah, it's just one of those that I've really liked. And I wanted to get a newer expansion for this just because instead of trying to get like what a lot of people are doing now is like trying to get some of the, like the hotness or trying to get some of like the older games that are getting reprinted, stuff like that. One of our other board game night players, Mike, we've been trying to get expansions for the games that we really dig. Because it's just, we know we're going to play them, and we know we love them, so we want to just kind of, you know, get as much as we can. So we got, I decided to get the Injustice expansion for the DC deck building game. And man, this one takes go against each other thing to another level in this game. Because this game is supposed to be cooperative. So let's call it like semi-cooperative. So like
it was supposed to be
cooperative. So you're trying to defeat the villains and take cards and stuff like that and defeat the villains and win, but ultimately you're trying to get the most points at the end, regardless of if you beat all the villains or not or
whatever. Yeah, it's along the same lines as Marvel.
Yes.
The Marvel deck building games also.
Correct.
But this one's brutal.
It is brutal. So in this one, it's like the Injustice video game. So if you've ever played the Injustice video game, it's basically what it is, the DC characters from different worlds kind of, come together and they fight each other, regardless if they're good, bad, whatever. And in this game, it takes that to a, like, to that level, which is awesome. So you're, you know, you're trying to buy your cards to do different deck building abilities and kind of with a combo to get certain things to either, you know, getting certain points to buy cards or getting certain points to beat the villain and stuff like that. But also they have this thing where you have hit points and you start with 20. Every player starts with 20, and what you have is you have this thing where these cards, like, if you're just playing with that set, they force you to basically pummel on the other players' characters, regardless if they're superheroes or supervillains.
Yeah, so, like, we didn't maybe know at the very beginning, so we randomly picked our people.
Yeah.
At the beginning, so two of us were supervillains and two of us were superheroes. So according to new board game, what do I want to call him? Board game
player
Jason. He's like, "Oh, okay, Tracy, you and I are supervillains. Yes, let's fist bump. We're going to go against these superheroes, Kurt and Mike, and we're going to take them down." And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. However, he KO'd me. I was the first one taken down. So anytime somebody plays a card that calls for an attack, you can attack anybody you want. And the first person that was out, also the villain that was out that we had to defeat, also took another hit on whoever somebody was attacking, right?
Yeah, it was like
this one did.
Yeah, you get an extra attack.
And he was knocking me down and knocking me down and knocking me down. Well, I'm a ding dong, and so I didn't realize my villain card or my player card also was the first hit. I didn't have to take, I could take one less. So I didn't realize that for a while. But either way, he KO'd me eventually. And then I thought, hey, I thought it was us against them because, like, we're villains, they're superheroes. And he's like, well, you know, I'm going off the rails. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he tried to be like, we're on a team? Like, come on, we're in this together. I was like, nope, you killed me now. now it's on. I'm taking you down. Like, it was brutal. Like, we were all, because even though you get KO'd, like, even though I got KO'd, my next turn, I come back. Mm-hmm. So it's like you get knocked down like you do in a video game. And then it's, like, not game over, but it's, like, you get recharged and you get to play again. Because I thought I was out of the game, and I was mad. I was still mad because I'm, like, you're the one who created this pact of supervillains, and then you just took me down.
Mm-hmm.
Jerk.
Perfect synergy with villains in any comic book. They turn on each other regardless.
I was fine. I was fine. But yeah, it. And then what's cool also is that on top of your player card, so your super villain, your, like, your villain card or your hero card, are also these power cards. And so if you amp up your, what was that called?
It's a charge meter, I think is what it's
called. Yeah, this game allows for charge meters. So some of the cards that you end up having in your hand or that you buy or whatever, you get to basically move this charge meter. And if you get to a certain point on your charge meter, you can use a superpower card that's basically affixed to your villain or your hero, and it helps you to, like, amplify. Makes sense, right? Charge meter, amplifying it.
Mm-hmm.
to be able to do more power. So I'm trying to think of what mine was. Once my charge meter met or hit 5, you had to move your meter down to 0 and start over again. But I think it got me more power, and it made me do an attack against everybody else that they couldn't defend themselves against. Mm-hmm. And so I could use that and the cards in my hand. And like, it was a bunch of like stacking, deck building kind of like nonsense. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's even cards that are in the buy row that you can also buy that have like a charge meter cost, and most of them were like 2 or something like that, and you could do certain other things, like yep. some of them would give you more power, some would be able to chain abilities and that kind of thing. The one thing you didn't talk about is that when you knock somebody out, you get a victory point, which is cool for you.
Oh, yes.
But the person that gets knocked out gets a KO token, which gets -3 points, which is very bad for them.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, like Tracy said, this game really takes the video game aspect of it and incorporates it well to where it feels like it's a knockdown, drag out kind of fight, where you're also still fighting those villains that are trying to take over the world, basically, and that kind of thing. So, like, it's fantastic. Like,
it was really good, but I was mad at first. And then I was like, this is on. And then I thought, I really lost my butt in this game.
Yeah.
But it was close.
It was close.
It was a low-scoring game, I think, in general, because we all got KO'd, like, 2 to 3 to 4 times.
Yep.
Because we were all just like, oh, this person's almost out. Oh, this one's almost out.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's still weaknesses. So if you're familiar with Marvel, incorporates them as not weaknesses, something else. But DC does weaknesses. So weaknesses are incorporated as like chafe cards. But if you want to get rid of a weakness, you have to move your don't you have to move your health down?
Yeah, I think you lose health, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're throwing that in there too. Like, oh my gosh. It was nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah, this, just so everybody knows who designed this too, like, Nathaniel Yamaguchi made this. The artist is Well B, who's also worked on, it says on here, Marvel's X. I mean, it's... And Cryptozoic just hit it out of the park again. Like, yeah. It's one of those things where I love games that I really dig that I haven't played for a while that I'm like, now I just want to play this more, you know?
See, and I think what threw me off is I didn't expect it to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I appeared angry
yeah.
when I was playing it, I think I was like, what is this? Like, I thought it was going to be just like an expansion added to the DC deck building that we normally have. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is nothing. This is nothing like, but I think it needed it.
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
Maybe or something. I don't know. It was really good. And I think everyone really like had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Mike had some like cards that everybody was really scared to like yes. fight against him because like... I think he had one card in his hand that if somebody went and he could defend it, he was shooting back at them with, like, fight that they couldn't... He was basically pushing back at them.
Yeah.
Like, it was a true, like, defensive move that you'd see in a video game.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because just like some of the old expansions for DC, you could actually defend against attacks if you have them. And a lot of the defense cards that you buy from the buy row... will give you great, like, alternate abilities. So yeah. It's like, I defend this, but I can draw 2 cards. I can defend this, but I can attack you back. I can defend this, but I can use a superpower that I have in my discard. Like, everything has really good synergy in this game. And it's just, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Just bravo. Let's talk about another game that we played in our gaming group, the week prior to that, we played. This is another game where I really love the series. I love just, it doesn't matter what iteration it is, it's just always good. We played Horrified, and
what did we play? I'm like listening. Yeah,
you're like, I'm not giving you any clues. This one is the Greek Monsters version of it. It's weird because I wouldn't call this an expansion. It's just a different edition of this game.
Well, I also wouldn't have called Injustice an expansion.
Well, technically, it's a standalone expansion. So you can mix it in with the other games, but you can also play it by itself.
Okay.
And it's weird because, like, okay, so I'll go back to that again.
Sorry.
It's okay. I feel like I could mix the Injustice with the other ones, but I don't think I would.
No,
I think I'd want to just play that straight as the as the standalone, because it's so much fun. Okay, back to Greek Monsters. Okay,
sorry.
No, it's okay. So this one is designed by Michael Mulvihill. Sorry if I messed up your name. Artist is Victor Meristain, and the publisher is Ravensburger. Or Ravensburger, however you want to say that. This one is, you're playing against the Greek monsters, which are the Medusa, Cerberus, Chimera, and a Minotaur. We played with the starting two, which was the Chimera and the Cerberus. And
And they were hard.
They were very hard. We just barely win the game this time? This game is always seems like it should be a lot easier than it is. And then when you start to play it, you're like, wow, it's not working out as well as I thought it would be, you know? So what you're doing is you are certain characters that start in certain parts of cities or towns or whatever, depending upon what the game is. And you are trying to beat these monsters, basically. And also saving the townspeople, or in this one, you're actually saving the heroes, which I think is kind of interesting.
Because we're legends.
Yes, we're legends saving the heroes. Are we heroes saving the legends? I don't remember how that works.
I always mix that up.
Yeah, I do too. Anyway, I'm trying to think of what the things were to defeat both of those monsters.
One of them was we had to get a certain number of points in the items we picked up.
Oh, that's right, because there were the doors for the Cerberus, I think.
Yep, I think, was it 30 points?
Yeah. So you could help by putting a certain amount in the doors. There's four doors for the Cerberus. And then you had to take the rest of them. You had to have enough of the rest of them to defeat the Cerberus.
Yep. And then the other one was you had to match certain dice rolls.
Oh, that's right. Because we had... that was the door one, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the door one, because you had to roll... Like, some of them you had to roll a couple of hits, and then, like, there's three dice, so it's like one was, like, two hits and nothing, and one of them was three hits. Yeah, so you had to do that. And then the other one is you had to do the points. You had to do the points, and then they had to be blue for the doors or something like that. The gates. That's what it was.
I was like,
it was so four doors, gates. But sorry. I was thinking about the other doors. So it was five doors for the Cerberus, technically, even though it looked like it was four. And then it was five spots for the Chimera. Or four spots. Sorry. God, I'm getting confused. Apologies. And you're putting the blue items on there, and then...
It has to be 30, like, it was like 30 points.
30, oh wait. Now I'm getting mixed up again, because it doesn't, the color is different on each of those, I think.
You're thinking blue, because you use blue to re-roll the dice.
No, you're using blue for the items, for the Cerebus, but then it's green for the rerolls.
Good Lord. Yeah. Well, either way, it was very hard, and it was not confusing like that when we were playing.
Yes, it was.
But it was still very hard because to defeat one of the monsters, you had to get, like, we had to collect items which were all over the board that totaled, like, 30 or more.
Yeah.
And get them there to defeat them. And then the other one was rolls to take out pieces of the door. And the rolls had to be exact, or you had to use green items to do a reroll, but you could only reroll one of the dice. And then if you wanted to reroll more than one of the die, then you had to use more than one green item for a reroll. Right?
Yes.
And I have to say, for the door one, which I thought was going to be impossible, Logan nailed it. He opened two portions of the door on perfect dice rerolls, or not rerolls, perfect dice rolls. And then Jason, didn't Jason finish the rest?
Yep. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, they like hammered it, but it sounds really easy and it really wasn't.
It really wasn't. Yeah.
My contribution was some items.
Yeah, exactly.
For the other monster.
Yeah. And the funny thing is they, you know, we've got these people that you try to move around to other spots from where they start so you can get those event cards or whatever that help you during the game. And we just kept dying and dying and dying because every time we would move the monsters, they would always go towards those, the people that were trying to move around and kill them. So it's like we never really had a chance to get any of those cards, except for the fact that I think
I had a good
character. You had a special ability where if somebody died, then you got a card, right? You got an event card or something like that?
No, mine was, I can't remember what mine was, but I kept getting event cards and I was able to share them with other people. But I can't, was it when people died?
I thought it was.
I don't know. I feel like we played this game like 12 months ago for some reason. I think we played so many games lately that I totally can't remember. But I was able to share a lot of mine, whether it was providing additional moves to people, having them go to a different space with somebody else.
Yeah.
I think that helped that my character was in the game.
Yeah,
to be sure. Even if I felt like I didn't do anything else, I was able to provide support.
Yeah, some of the event cards that we had were really timely. Like, even the ones that we had were like, the monster doesn't take a monster attack this turn. Like, that helped a lot. I think one of them was like, we look and see what monster would be doing what next turn and stuff like that, so we could plan for doing something else, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's crazy because what is this? Is this the third version now? They've got
American Monster, the original,
and then Greek, yeah.
And honestly, I didn't even know they came out with Greek. And then you're like, he's bringing over Greek monsters, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What is this, Yudoku?
Yeah, every iteration they've ever had has been just phenomenal.
Yep. We've played all of them, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, because Mike brought over the American Monsters one, too, so we played that one. Yeah, so kudos. Kudos for that game. And then lastly, I wanted to talk about a game we've been playing online recently that is a game that I've always, always loved. And it's funny because every time we play this game, people are scared to play with me because they always... I'm really good
about... what are we talking about? And then I'm like, yep, I know.
I'm always good at screwing people over, apparently, so no one likes me playing this game. It's Emotep. By Cosmos Games. This is designed by Phil Walker Harding. The artist is Miguel Coimbra and Michaela Kino. I hope I have your name right, Michaela. Yeah, this game is always just been like real fun for me. I mean, even if I lose this game, I still have a lot of fun. You are, you know, putting your blocks or your
stone,
yeah, on ships. You're sailing them to different areas to build different things like obelisk or
pyramids
or temples,
burial chamber stuff.
Yep.
Market.
Yep, you can go to the market, get some cards and stuff like that. We've been playing the... We actually played it. We played... They have an A side of the buildings, but we also played the B side, which I don't even know if we even played in the...
I think we did.
Original version, or in the real-life version.
Think we did.
Oh, we did. Yes, we did. You're right.
Yep. But we also... this weekend, I was going to say yesterday, we also played where they mixed them.
Yeah, we did.
Because we played on Board Game Arena with John, and we mixed side A and B, or they randomly mixed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually liked the mixing of it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Because it kind of makes it a little different, you know, that kind of thing. Or with, like, the burial chamber, we had it on the B side where it's, you're getting... points depending upon whoever has the most stone in the rows. And it was always confusing to Tracy because...
No, well, you know why? Because what? Side A, you collect things as they're connected.
Oh, yeah.
And so this one, I was playing it as side A instead of side B. And yeah. So that was why I kept going, I know what a row is and I know what a column is, but I... And playing it as side A.
Yeah. Well, also, I felt like when I was trying to explain it, like, I maybe wasn't explaining it right to you, too, because I was
I had my aha moment at the very end of it.
Yeah, because I was like, they enter on the columns, but you're scoring on the rows, and it's...
But I think you said they enter on the... You kept saying rows the entire time. Mm. Like, I don't think you ever said columns, so I was like, what? Mm. And then I realized at the end what you were saying.
I thought that's what I thought.
That's okay. I mean,
I say crap wrong all the time. So, but yeah, I love this game because there's a lot of different strategies you can do when it comes to this game. So like I played one, or I tried to play one of the times where we played, where I was like, I'm not gonna sail any boats. I'm gonna put my stuff on there. I'm gonna let you guys decide. But this game has a way of, like, forcing you to have to do it anyway, because if you get to a point where you have too many stone on your pad, which is, I think there's, like, five. Yeah, there's five. You can't draw them anymore, so you either have to put something on a boat, and if the boats are full, you have to sail a boat. So it was one of those where I was like, well, shoot, now I have to, like, try to, you know, think of what I want to do. And it's weird because, and again, just like I said at the beginning, instead of thinking, like, what can I do to get more points for myself? I'm like, what can I do to screw somebody else over on this game? And it's not to be malicious. It's just, I think it's fun. I think it's just kind of fun.
Well, in here, I'm like, Kurt's channeling me. I'm going to sail a boat. And then I sailed the boat and helped somebody instead because I wasn't thinking. And I was like, I'll sail him here. And I'm like... Oh my god, I just gave him 22 points. Oh, no. But at this last game we played, no, we never utilized the market cards until, like, probably the last third of the game, which is unusual because I don't think we've ever done that. I would be interested to see that if we never went to the market.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was definitely interesting. I don't think I went to... Did I go to the market at all? No, I don't think I ever went to the market that last game.
Like you sailed it on purpose, or you didn't think you had a cube that was there at all?
I don't think I ever got sent to the market.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Which is interesting. But yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that game is always a blast. I feel like when it comes to the market has great cards, but for some reason nobody wants to go there because they want to try to get the points on the buildings.
Well, but if they... Also, it does, but it depends on how the cards are, because they're so random on there. Depends on how they're laid out, too.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to take them, and...
Yeah,
for maybe sure. Maybe that's a strategy to always go to the market instead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah. And again...
I don't know. Now I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, literally, that's the first thing I thought of when you said it, so it was already in my head. But it's funny, because that's what I think about now when I play games. Like, I'm like... As much as it's fun to win games, it's nice to be able to just be like, let's try something different, you know?
Yeah.
Because you play a game, especially like this, if we're playing it online, we're playing it more than a few times. Like, why not, instead of playing it the same every time, let's try to see if there's another strategy, because eventually you could find that strategy that you're like, whoa, this is a strategy that's going to be just lights out, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe not. Maybe you play it and you're like, wow, this strategy was dumb. You know, like, I shouldn't have done that. Like, with the...
Oh, like me sailing the boat to the and helping John for 22 points.
And it's funny, too, because I was even like, what is happening?
And yeah, I'm everyone's like, whoa! And John's like, thanks, Tracy. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm dumb. So then you sail me somewhere to get me points so that you can bring us back up to, like, equal territory. I'm like, thank God. I just wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
But that was side B, and I wasn't, again, not as used to playing with side B as side A.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes some time. But yeah.
Dork.
Yeah. That's a game that is very fun, but if you're not into Take That, can be a little frustrating.
Especially with Kurt and John.
Yeah. So it's nice to get that to the table in parentheses, but online. Yeah, it's just we've been playing a lot of.
Did you say in parentheses? In quotes?
Yeah. Yeah, because
you said parentheses.
Or in quotes, whatever.
He did air quotes, and then he said in parentheses.
Oh, whatever.
And then I was like, what?
But yeah, we've been getting a lot of good games to the table. It's been nice to play some of the old ones, bring some of the new ones to the table and stuff like that. So yeah.
Heck yeah.
Hopefully you've been enjoying what you've been playing recently. If there's something that you're excited about that you want to tell us about, make sure you reach us out. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. On Blue Sky. So yeah, come have a conversation if you're willing. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.